This is an iHeart podcast.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, the unexpected, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the man who went down that day.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, you'll hear about these heroes and what their stories tell us about the nature of bravery. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
What would you do if you went to buy a car one day and they said, well, we don't sell cars anymore? And you said, I'm sorry, why don't you sell cars? Oh, nobody knows how to make them anymore. I'm sorry, what now? You don't know how to make them? Sounds absurd, right? It's stupid. It's not believable. But you have to understand, you and I are both blessed extremely to live our entire lives where technology only advances. It only goes one direction. That is not the history of the world. It is not. Technology goes up, and then it is lost, destroyed, whatever. Then it disappears. And it takes people ages to rediscover basics again. The Greeks came across old, ancient Assyrian cities and said, how did anybody build that? 1,000 years before them. And you've heard of the Dark Ages, 5th century to 15th century thing, the Dark Ages. And what does everybody know about the Dark Ages, if you know anything? It's a period of time where learning went down. A period of time where they would come across basics of Rome. They would come across the Roman Colosseum, the Roman Aqueduct. People would, advanced people for their times, and would say, who built this? How did you build this? Having no idea how to get it done. None. Because technology had gone the opposite direction quickly. It is so odd to think about. I've always thought it one of the oddest things. Because we've never known that life. You've never known that life. People have lived that way. People have lived knowing the people who came before them were more advanced than they are. And that is a difficult, difficult thing to picture. So the Dark Ages. Why did we have Dark Ages? What happened? Well, a lot of things happened. But one of the main things that happened was a man named Attila the Hun. the whip of God, the scourge of God, whatever you want to call him, Attila the Hun is a man as responsible for launching the world in the into the Dark Ages as anybody else. Now, you remember where we were. You remember where we were on Friday. If you don't, brief recap. Real brief recap, because I'm not getting into all that again. Rome is split up into two empires at this point in time. We're talking the year 400s, 450. Just call it 450. Rome is split up. They have the Western Roman Empire, and they have the Eastern Roman Empire. Eastern Roman Empire is, you know, Turkey, modern-day Turkey. It's a lot more than that, but that's what it is. And modern-day Istanbul, and we'll get back to that, is Constantinople at this time. And then you have the Western Roman Empire, and that would be what you know as Italy, France, so on and so forth. Both nations are a shell of what Rome used to be. They're both kind of on their heels militarily. They're not out there conquering peoples anymore. They're in the process of being slowly conquered as the barbarian people on their borders are taking some things back. And remember, it's a great lesson for them, for you, for me, for all of us. As the saying goes, be careful how you treat people on the way up because you may meet them again on the way down. When you're Rome, you can't exactly expect a lot of mercy from barbarian tribes when you start to crumble. Because the Romans had had their foot on their necks for about 1,000 years at this point in time. So they're taking and they're taking, and Rome is trying to figure it out. Eastern and Western. Now, remember, they're not enemies. I'm not saying they're best friends, but they have this we're both Roman mentality. Eastern Roman Empire is much more of a Christian Roman Empire. West is kind of moving that way. And there are two names you really need to remember for today. There are more I could dump into this story to make it a little more detail, but again, I don't like to give you more than two or three names. Obviously, you know Attila the Hun, and you need to know Flavius Attius. We're just going to call him Attius. Attius, you need to know that name. So that's easy. Now, Attila the Hun is a Hun. What does that mean to you? That means he is from the Asian steppe. He is from the barren, grassy, nomadic Asian steppe where Genghis Khan would rise from about 800 years after this fact. The steppe is famous for tribes like the Scythians, the Parthians, the Mongols, the Huns, and they're all famous essentially for being incredible horsemen. They're almost all entirely mounted, and they have incredible bows. Now, what makes a good bow? Well, there are a lot of things to it, but just know this. These bows, the ones the Huns used, they shoot heavy arrows really fast, and they shoot them so fast they can actually penetrate Roman shields and armor. This is not a bow like in the movies where you see him and he breaks off a little stick and give him about 20 minutes and it gets you a little bow with the string. It took a year to make one of these bows. They had to use wood and bone and sinew, and they had to warm them up and shape them and warm them up. Like, it was a process. A process. And these people were incredible archers, just like the Mongols were. They could shoot behind themselves in the saddle, turn around in the saddle and shoot you as you were chasing after them. Now, the Huns, they're nomadic. They're not siege people yet as far as siege weapons. They don't have catapults and things to knock down your walls. They want to meet you out on the plains and run you down. Or if they do lay a siege, all they can really do is surround the city and wait you out until a man named Attila comes along. Now know this, Attius and Attila knew each other, and I don't mean a little. They knew each other really, really well and had fought together. This was the era where sides were always changing. and you have to go be a hostage with him for a while, and he's going to come be a hostage with you for a while. Oh, and forgetting about hostages, now we need some help. In fact, let us begin our story right there. Aetius has these people called the Burgundians. They are a barbarian tribe. Aetius is after glory. Aetius is a very capable Roman general, very, very capable, as we'll get to. And he is named the commander of Gaul. Well, he wants to go slap around some barbarians in Gaul. His army's not that great, but guess whose is? Attila the Hun. And Aetius goes to his old buddy Attila and says, hey, I've got a plan. I've got some food. I'll handle the logistics. I'll handle all that. I need somebody to come handle the killing. And just like the Mongols, the Huns are really, really, really good at killing and really enjoy it. And they were thought of to be uniquely vicious. And we'll get to that in just a moment.
The Jesse Kelly Show. Subscribe wherever you find podcasts.
I have the coolest new subscription service you're ever going to hear of in your life. There's this show on Netflix. It's called Southern Survival. And what they do is they put all this battle box stuff through testing and show you how to use it. You can get one of these battle boxes sent to your home every single month, starting at just $30 a month. They've already sent me my first one. It had things like a special flashlight in it, a hatchet, a disposable grill on my life. I'm not making this up. Completely biodegradable. You use it one time and then bury it, and it just goes back to the soil. It is the best thing I've ever bought in my life. Me and my boys have a blast opening this. Go to battlebox.com with no E. Again, that's battlebox.com, no E. Use the code Jesse. That actually gets you 20% off. Battlebox.com, coupon code Jesse.
Jesse Kelly, on air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Aetius is a crafty devil hiring these Huns, and Aetius is an ambitious person. How ambitious is Aetius? Well, we'll put it to you this way. He got in a little feud in Rome with a guy named Boniface. Aetius decides he's going to go ahead and have a little fight with Boniface. He kills Boniface. Not only does he kill Boniface, he then goes and marries Boniface's wife that he left behind and buys Boniface's house that he no longer needs. So we're talking a bit of a spiteful man, kind of salty. Kind of like that much salt, though, Chris. That makes for good stories. Aetius hires these Huns to come up and fight the Burgundians with him. And he gets to really witness firsthand the Huns on the warpath, and he is, even for a Roman, shocked. The Huns kill every man, woman, and child. Romans had done that in the past. It's not like they hadn't, but Huns, they took it to new levels of cruelty, and we're talking impalements. Remember impaling? Sorry, kids, I know this is rough. There are several different kinds of impaling. You can impale somebody as in you put a sharpened stick in the air and you essentially stab them in the stomach with a sharp stick and it goes through them and they slide down and die pretty quickly because you've pierced a bunch of organs and such. That's one way. Another way to do that is to take that sharpened stick and place it where the sun don't shine, And then it'll take a little longer before it gets to vital organs, but it'll pierce them and you'll die. You know, minutes. And then there's the Hun way, and others have used this way in the past, of you're still placing it where the sun don't shine, only you're not sharpening it. You're making sure it's blunt on the end, and you're making sure it's blunt on the end specifically so it won't pierce vital organs. In fact, they would grease the ends of it, so it'll just move all your organs around as it slowly makes its way through your body as you sink down onto it, keeping you alive. Sometimes for days. And the Huns liked it a lot. And the Romans, I mean, how bad does it have to get for a Roman to look at you and think, my word, that is barbaric. Yes, let's keep in mind, these are the people who crucified Jesus Christ. And they're looking at Attila thinking, oh, man, that's a little far, right? But nevertheless, they're very, very handy if you need an army. Now, that whole parade breaks up. I'm skipping over several things. That's just so the show doesn't last 9,000 years. And plus, there are a couple really cool stories I want to get to. Everybody goes back their separate ways. Attila goes back to the Hungarian plain. Eastern Roman Empire does their thing. Western Roman Empire does their thing. Now, part of the Western Roman Empire was North Africa. Carthage. You remember Carthage? We've talked about it several times on the show. North Africa is a profitable part of the Western Roman Empire. And remember how I told you they're friends? Eastern Roman Empire and Western Roman Empire, they're friends. They are. The Western Roman Empire gets themselves in a bit of trouble because there's a group of barbarians called the Vandals. We're going to be dealing with Goths, Vandals, and Huns today. Just know they're all barbarians. But the Vandals, while fierce fighters, very capable fighters, they were kind of run out of Europe by the Huns and the Goths. There's always one guy a little tougher, and the Vandals couldn't find a place to land until they made their way down to North Africa and thought, wow, I like it here. I think I'll stay. And the Western Roman Empire did not have the military might. They did not have the military might to toss them out alone. So they went to the Eastern Roman Empire and they said, what can you do to help me? And the Eastern Roman Empire had a decision to make because they knew Attila was out there. They knew Attila was powerful. And by now they were well aware the Huns were always looking for a new city to attack, wealth to acquire, and Attila had spent so much time fighting alongside the Romans, guess what else he knew? He now knew siege warfare. So on top of everything else, you've taught the man how to destroy cities. But the Eastern Roman Empire felt they were obligated to go help the Western Roman Empire and fight these Vandals. So they gather up their army, and they take off, and they're like, we're coming, guys, don't worry. And they're gone about 5 minutes, not really, I'm exaggerating, but they're gone about 5 minutes, and Attila, who has spies everywhere, gets word back, the Eastern Roman Empire is like entirely undefended right now. Well, Attila's not a man who's just going to lay down and accept that. So he gets the Hun horde together, and he attacks a place called Margum. Now, what makes Margum a little unique is he demands to see the bishop of Margum. Remember, I said this was getting to be a Christian nation, like a Catholic Christian type thing. The bishop not only goes out to see him, the bishop tells Attila if he'll spare his life, he'll open the city gates for him. Talk about all-time scumbag moves, and he does it. Goes back, open the gates, And Attila does what Huns do in Margum, and the stories are horrific. And then he goes and does the exact same thing in a city called Nisus as well. And by now, the Eastern Roman Empire knows they are in bad, bad, bad trouble. They scramble back and they sue for peace. They cannot defeat Attila. They tell him, hey, just please leave us alone. We'll pay you a bunch of gold every year. And Attila says, okay, that's fine. He backs off, accepts his gold payment. And now he's just, you know, still up and coming. But remember, at this point, Attila the Hun is ruling the Hunnish Empire alongside his brother. Well, his brother meets an untimely demise, you could say. I'm not trying to be purposely coy about that. I have no idea how his brother died. Nobody did, because the Huns didn't keep a written history. Anything we know about the Huns, we learned from the Romans. But it is widely assumed that Attila killed his brother. His brother was young, in good health, did not but die in battle. All of a sudden, the dude just shows up dead one day. And guess who's calling the shots now? One man. And we've talked about this before, but it's important you and I understand. Large empires were always wary of the tough Asian steppe people. They knew what incredible fighters they were, and they knew the only way to really stop them, or one of the best ways to stop them, was to keep them fighting each other. These people all fought each other all the time. Yes, they're incredible, but they're so busy sniping at each other, they'll leave us alone. Well, until they don't. Gold Alliance has a 5-star, A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Do you have any idea how difficult it is in the business world to get an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau? This is a company that takes care of you. They pay special attention to you. And of course they should, right? It is your money. You need a gold IRA from Gold Alliance. Look at what the Fed is doing. They've been on a money printing tear. They're devaluing the dollar every single day, and they've never printed money like this ever. Gold's going to be there. Gold was there before. Gold is there now. Gold will be there holding its value in the future, because that's what gold does. Stop taking chances with the money you've worked hard for. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. That gets you up to $5,000 in free gold and silver coins. Attila the Hun goes back to the plains, kills his brother. I'm doing a big assumption there, but come on now. We all know what happened. Eastern Roman Empire goes back to doing their thing. Western Roman Empire goes back to doing their thing. Woohoo! We have solved that problem. Glad everything's peaceful now. Only it's not totally peaceful, because Theodosius is currently the head of the Eastern Roman Empire at this time. Theodosius, you remember those payments he had to make annually to Attila the Hun? He stopped making those. And in the all-time, I mean, this story has more of these kind of stories than you can imagine. In the all-time bad luck event ever, not only does he stop making the payments, which has Attila already preparing for war, he stops making the payments, Attila's preparing for war, and he wakes up one night because the bed is a-shaking. He goes out and finds out the next morning that Constantinople had been slammed with a horrible earthquake that had knocked down a 1 mile section of the Constantinople walls. Remember what I said, Attila the Hun has armies everywhere? Has spies everywhere, I mean? Yeah, he found out right away. So Attila's all, well, I know where we're going, boys. Hops on his horse, starts heading that way. Now, Theodosius is not a bad dude, and he's not an idiot, and he knows the Hun army is on the way. He does two things and saves this city. You know, Istanbul today, Istanbul, Turkey, is supposed to be one of the coolest places out there, even though Turkey, you know, is run by dirtballs. Istanbul only exists today because of what Theodosius does at this point in time in the year, in the 400s. He throws together the best army he can. On top of that, he puts up the most ambitious construction project ever to rebuild the wall. He essentially mobilizes the entire city, men, women, children, everybody. The wall, they say it should have taken 2 years to build back. It's not a fast process then. We're not talking about cranes and construction equipment here, remember. These are horses and carriages and such. He puts these people to work and ends up getting the wall rebuilt in 2 months. 2 months. But Attila's still coming, right? And you don't have 2 months. So he sends his army out on what was essentially a suicide mission. He sends his army out to fight Attila, knowing they're going to lose, but just trying to buy the people of Constantinople enough time to rebuild the wall the earthquake had just knocked down. I'm not kidding. Amazing. His army does lose. They do fight. They fight well. They fight hard. They lose, of course. And Attila shows up to Constantinople and sees the freaking wall rebuilt. This time, Theodosius strikes another deal with Attila where they essentially, they bankrupt the Eastern Roman Empire at this point in time. As you can imagine, Attila is still a little salty about him stopping the last payments and a little salty that he doesn't get to take Constantinople. They have to pay him more than double the previous amount of gold they were having. They said rich people were homeless. A lot of them were homeless after this because they had to essentially sell all their possessions just to pay off Attila to go away. But they do it. And they live to fight another day. Because remember, the Eastern Roman Empire went on for a long time after this. They broke themselves. They paid him off. Attila's gone. Whew, I'm glad that's done. Oh, no. Oh, no. The Western Roman Empire is about to screw something up badly. And not really the whole empire. One woman. One spiteful woman is about to bring the wrath of Attila the Hun down on the entire Western Roman Empire. That's not an exaggeration. You see, Attila went back, and he settled back down on his massive empire. He does. He has a huge one at this point in time. They're the toughest guys around, so they took all the land they wanted. They relaxed. He's chilling. He's just doing his thing, but always wanting more lands. The head of the Western Roman Empire, he's just a dude. I'm not going to go into it. But he has a sister. And you know what happens when you have women in royal families. We've talked enough history on this show that you know how that story goes, right? They get married off. They get married off to other emperors, other important people to forge alliances. That's not abnormal. That is the history of the world. They get married off to other people to forge alliances. They really want them to be virgins when they do this. This is important throughout history. if you're marrying off your sister, your daughter, something like that, that the guy you're marrying her off to really wants to know he's the first. Not trying to be vulgar here, that's just a fact. She is apparently becoming a bit flirtatious around the Roman capital, starting to take a greater interest in men. The Western Roman Emperor is understandably very, very concerned that her sister is going to, trying to be delicate here, spoil the goods before he can marry her off. So he locks her away. Now, he doesn't lock her in some dank dungeon cell. He locks her in essentially a castle, but he has her locked away. So she can't roam about, you know, she can't roam about Rome. And then it turns out she was going to find a way anyway. You see, she had a butler that took care of her basic needs, and she ended up pregnant, and it was his kid. Now, the Roman emperor is furious. Obviously, the butler died shortly after. I don't have to elaborate on that. He's furious, so mad at his sister for getting pregnant and screwing up what he was going to do with her, that he promises her to what is considered to be an ugly idiot. That's how they describe this man. Apparently, he was horrible looking and a total moron. And he's marrying his sister off to this dude just out of spite, just to punish her. And this guy doesn't care that she's pregnant. This guy ain't getting anybody else. He certainly ain't getting anyone higher status than that, whatever. Well, now his sister is really salty, really, really salty. And in the all-time spiteful move of spiteful moves, she takes her signet ring. It's an important ring. She takes her signet ring, drops it in an envelope along with a letter, and sends a runner over to Attila the Hun, where they deliver this letter to Attila. Attila opens it up and sees this note asking him to come rescue her. And the ring in there, unbeknownst to her, in Hun tradition, if you are given a ring, that means you want him to marry you. Attila the Hun says, yep, that's a political alliance I think I'll be signing on for. Get on your horses, boys. We're heading for Rome. The Roman emperor, in case you're wondering, yes, he wants to murder his sister at this point in time. He's furious with her when he finds out the Huns are on the way. But their mother steps in and doesn't allow him to kill her, and the Roman army is, well, now they're in trouble because the Huns are coming. Couple more quick things, hang on.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Ebb Sleep is incredible. And look, I don't think they're as cocky as I am, but they must know they're incredible. How do I know that? They offer a 60-day risk-free trial. Imagine doing all the work it takes to come up with a wearable device you put on your forehead that calms down your thoughts, puts people to sleep, put in all that work, and then tell people, look, I know it works. I'm so confident it works. Go try it for 60 days risk-free. You don't have anything to lose, and I'm telling you, take it from me. I know when you go from not sleeping to sleeping 8 hours a night, everything changes for you. Go to tryeb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. That actually gets you $25 off on top of 60 nights risk-free. tryeb.com/Jesse. Attila is now marching on the Western Roman Empire, and he's marching hard. Couple quick stories before we wrap this up here really quick today. One, there's a place called Reims. This story is just, look, I almost didn't relay it, but you can go read it up yourself. They still have the monument to this guy. Apparently there was a priest when the Huns were invading and, you know, taking over the city. And you know how Huns take over a city. It's not pleasant. This priest stands on the steps of the church and begins to read Psalm 119. The Huns run up to this guy as he's reading Psalm 119 and chop his head off. The story goes that he continues to read Psalm 119 as his head rolls down the stairs. Now, obviously, I would normally just kind of dismiss that as an urban legend. However, it is a fact, and no one can explain why, the Huns packed up and left the city immediately. It freaked them out. They even said, "This is what happened. I saw it. We're leaving." The Huns do not leave a city without burning it to the ground for just no reason whatsoever. Also, have you ever heard of a little place called Paris? Paris, France? Maybe the most famous city in the world. I've never been. I'm told I should go. Costs a lot of money to go over there, and I'm not big on French food, Chris. It's the thing. Whatever, I'm sure I'll go at some point in time. I know you got to go. But very important place, right? Well, it's not called Paris at this time while Attila is rampaging through the countryside, sacking and burning everything. It's just a really, really crappy town. And when I say crappy town, Attila the Hun rides up to this place, checks it out, and says, "That place is such a dump, it's not even worth my time to stop in and kill people." And they just chose to bypass it instead of razing it to the ground, and that's why Paris exists to this day. Otherwise, he would have completely destroyed it and it would have been gone. How about that? Now, the Western Roman Empire knows they're in a bit of trouble. Remember our man Attius? He's still there. He knows Attila very, very well. Remember, they are childhood friends, and he knows, well, he knows he can't defeat them, not with just a Roman army. They don't have enough men. Attila has 100,000 guys at this time. And Attius goes to people they've been fighting for a long time, the Goths. Remember the Goths way back when on Friday? The Goths who initially were fleeing from the Huns? The Goths are still really, really tough. The Romans choose to unite with the Goths and go meet Attila the Hun on the battlefield. Attius is no idiot. Attila is very, very capable, but Attius knows he's got to figure out something special or Attila's going to wreck his world. So he does something unique. Now, what is the problem when you face one of these Asian steppe armies? Their speed. They're all on horseback. They're all mounted, and they're so fast, they hit you and run away. They hit you and run away. They hit you and encircle you. You just can't catch them. They're always on the deck on horses. So Attius comes up with a plan. He puts his elite Roman troops on the left side of his line. He puts the very much elite Gothic troops on the right side of his line. And he took all the crap left over and put it in the middle. All the weak troops in the middle. Because he had a plan. And the plan was this. Attila is no dummy either. He's going to see the weak troops in the center of the line. Most of the time, if you break the center of the line, you win the battle, period. So he's going to see the weak troops go after the weak troops in the center of the line and win the day. But Attius had a plan. He was baiting Attila in. Attila went charging into the center. Attila's army, I should say, went charging into the center. As expected, the center starts to push back and back and back. They can't hold up. But Attius did this on purpose so he could have his elite troops circle the Hunnish army, attacking them and eliminating their ability to ride away and maneuver. It does you no good for all of you to be on horseback if you're all penned up in a little corral. Now, does it? Where are you going to go? Nowhere. Now, I don't want to act like the Romans annihilated the Huns here, because they didn't annihilate the Huns and they didn't kill Attila, and this war is going to continue another day. But Attila does lose this battle. The Romans are severely bloodied. Attila is severely bloodied. And you know what? Hang on.
Never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Part-time job, full-time hustle, all-time Shiro to all of us. You nurture, we listen. You teach, we thrive. You lift our spirits, but we've got to lay down the truth. It's time for you, our Shiro, to stretch for the stars. Start saving more for retirement now, so you can feel prepared and live your life to the fullest. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org/Shiro.
A message brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You have to learn, I have to learn, to use your enemy's strengths against him. And you have to learn what he loves to do and what he hates to do. You must know your enemy. You have to. And you can't always do what you've always done when you're fighting an enemy. You have to change tactics sometimes. Things change. You and I have got to be more mobile with our thinking in how we handle things, how we handle the left, how we handle elections, how we handle everything in our lives. We are facing something new. We must change. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? I usually, my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, the unexpected, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the man who went down that day.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, you'll hear about these heroes and what their stories tell us about the nature of bravery. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.